Now it's time for our morning message. They've moved the clock. It's up here. Praise the Lord. I think we should do what George Pearson did. George Pearson, in their church, they took the clock out. And their services now run for 3, 4, 5 hours. And the Holy Spirit has invaded the services. And they're having a great time. Might hang something over that one. Some of you are looking worried. All right, today I want to talk to you about this. The message that the Lord has put in my heart is this, is how to move a mountain. How to move a mountain. You know, God's Word talks about mountains that need to be moved, and even in our lives individually, you and myself collectively, there are things that we need to deal with in our lives. There are things that happen in our lives. And Jesus, in the Word, He used great illustrations to make the concepts that He was trying to teach easier for people to grasp, because He knew that people think in terms of pictures. If I say to you, you know, a dog or cat or whatever, you immediately, you don't see C-A-T or D-O-G, you see the animal. And people think in pictures. And so when He was giving these illustrations and He told them about moving mountains, He was, as it were, breathing life into their thinking so they could understand the concept that He was trying to get to. And it wasn't so much that He was trying to talk about, well, we'll actually move a mountain, but the principle was it could be done, but if you can do it by faith in your own life, then you can enjoy something better. I read something one author said about illustrations, and this is what was said. Illustrations turn ears into eyes and freeze the listeners to think with pictures in their heads. I'll read that to you again. The author said, illustrations turn ears into eyes and freeze the listeners to think with pictures in their heads. So this is the principle, the method that Jesus used. And we in Mark 11:23, which we're going to put on the screen for you, Jesus said this, I tell you the truth, that you can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe that it will happen and have no doubt in your heart at all. Now, we know He wasn't speaking literally as far as the mountain's concerned. He was speaking figuratively. He was saying that when you face a mountain, you can deal with it, and here's a way you can do it. And when you look at the story and read through it, and we'll do a little bit of that, He gave several keys. And the first key He gave, really, because those of you who know me, I like to give you three keys or three steps or whatever. That's just a way for you to remember these things. And the first key that He gave is this, you must hear. You must hear the Word. Now, you know that Romans 10 and 17 says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, every book in your Bible is about Jesus. This is a book of books. But the books, 66 of them, every one of them is about Jesus. He's mentioned in every one of them. And what I noticed was that in a certain verse in John 5:39, in the Passion version of the Bible, Jesus was speaking to the rabbis and to the Pharisees, to the Jewish people who were giving Him a hard time. And He said this to them, John 5:39 in the Passion, you are busy analyzing the Scriptures, frantically poring over them in hopes of gaining eternal life. Everything you read, He said, points to Me. He's mentioned in every book of the Bible. The book is all about Him. The book is all about Jesus. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So we need to hear the Word of God, not just the Old Testament as the people of His day had, but the New Testament, because we're New Covenant people. And so faith comes in our hearts as we hear this Word and we spend time in it. The second thing that He said about this, how to move a mountain, is you must believe. You can hear, but you must also believe. Lots of people hear the message. Lots of people hear the Word, whether they listen to a CD or they watch their favorite TV program or whatever it is, and they hear the Word. But you must believe what you hear. There has to be a believing. You have to believe that God's Word is steadfast. You have to believe that it's unshakable. You have to believe that it's not going to change, that what He says He means, and He means what He says. You can't come to the place where you just have like a mental acknowledgement of it, you know, just in your head you say, oh yes, that's the Bible, that's God's Word, I believe that. There are lots of people who have spent some time in Bible colleges or Bible schools studying theology, the study of the Word of God, and they end up, as far as I'm concerned anyway, with what I call just a head knowledge. They say, oh yes, we know the Bible says such and such. But they don't actually come to a place where they actually believe it and put it into practice. It has to be more than just head knowledge. It's more than just information. There are lots of men and women, I guess, too, who have spent 3, 4, 5 years studying, going to college, learning to be ministers, quote unquote. They want to be ministers, but they never ever come to a place of understanding that this is the truth, and it is the truth that sets you free. They have a head acknowledgement. Oh, yes, I know this is the Bible, but we don't actually believe it that way. We don't actually believe that God heals people. We don't actually believe that people speak with the other tongue. We don't see, they accept a little bit of it, not all of it. But let me read another scripture to you. Hebrews 4 and verse 2 in the New King James Bible says, "For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as unto them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." So we have to hear it, we have to believe it. It takes more than just the mental acknowledgement. You have to actually believe it to the point where you're going to stand on it, irrespective of what anyone else says. You have to come to that place where you say, well, this is what God says, this is the word, it works every time. Now, as we go through, you realize it doesn't always work immediately. Alex is sitting over there, a good friend of ours. Alex talked to me, 2 months ago, I guess. She had a growth come on the side of her face. And so I shared some things with her over the telephone. We didn't even lay hands on her. And then she phoned me, you texted me one night last week, late. She said, I apologize for texting late, but it has fallen off my face. Why? Because of the word. See, this is the key. This is the truth, and it sets you free. But you have to believe it. Faith only comes when you hear, when you believe, and you believe that God means what he says. You believe that it is the truth, and it is the thing that will set you free. Now, Jesus made an interesting statement in Matthew 21 and 22. He said this, "And whatever things you ask in prayer," listen to the next word, "believing." Whatever things you ask in prayer, believing. See, lots of people come and pray, oh, Father, oh, I need, Lord, you know, I have this headache. But they don't actually believe it. They're hoping. Oh, well, you know, it might work. I'm not sure. You know, we tried this last time and it didn't work, but maybe this time it will. Jesus said, whatever things you ask in prayer, believing. There's the second step that he gave us. We have to believe. Now, there was a third step that he gave. And let me tell you what the third step is. The third step is speaking. Now, remember I told you, Mark 11:23, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain. So not only do you need to hear the word, not only do you need to believe it, but you need to speak it. You have to say it out of your mouth. When Elizabeth had the brain aneurysm, which is now, 18 years ago, and I was in the hospital with her. We took her to hospital because I prayed over her. Nothing seemed to happen that I could see. But we took her to hospital, and when we went into the hospital, the surgeon who was the chief neurosurgeon, he happened to be in the emergency area there going through because he'd been visiting a patient. And they said, oh, this lady's had a brain aneurysm. And so he said, well, let me examine her. And he took me aside and he said, oh, Mr. Campbell, I'm sorry, but this is very serious. We don't think your wife's going to make it till tomorrow. The chances are she may die while we operate. He said, prepare your heart. You know, this is serious. So I took his hands and I said, do you mind if I pray for you? And he turned out to be a good Catholic man. He said, no, you can pray for me. His name is Gavin Fabini. He said, no, you can pray. So I held his hands and I prayed. And I said, sir, you're going to do the best operation you ever did. When this is over, nobody will even know she ever had a brain aneurysm. And here she is today. Why? Because we spoke out of our mouth what we believed in our heart. There has to be a speaking. Now, let me take you to another reference in Acts chapter 14, verse 7 through 10. These three steps that I've given you, they're all over the Bible. And you know, all these Bible stories, you can find these three steps. Acts 14, 7 through 10. This is about Paul and Barnabas going to Lystra. And it says, and there they preached the good news. While they were at Lystra, Paul and Barnabas came upon a man with crippled feet. He had been that way from birth. He had never walked. He was sitting and listening as Paul preached. Looking straight at him, Paul realized that he had faith to be healed. So Paul called out to him in a loud voice, stand up. The man jumped up on his feet and started walking. What happened? The man heard them preach the word. Obviously, the man believed the word because it said Paul perceived that he had faith to be healed. And then Paul spoke and said, stand up on your feet. And he started walking. And he'd never walked. He was a man probably maybe 38, 40 years old. We don't know what the Bible doesn't say. But he'd been there from birth a long, long time. Three steps. Easy. Now listen to it again. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. Listen to this. Paul speaking. And he says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke. I believed, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak. Now, Paul just said there that we have the same spirit of faith. He's talking about the Bible heroes, David, Abraham, all the heroes who had faith. He says, we having the same spirit of faith, we also speak. And you go through all the stories, you'll find that these principles are all there. These principles, 1, 2, and 3, very simple. But it's not enough just to hear the word and think you have faith. You must believe it. But it takes more than believing. You have to go to the next level. You have to get your faith up a level and begin to speak it. You have to speak it forcibly and understandably. You have to come to the place where you understand that God created this whole thing by speaking it into existence. You're here because God spoke it out of his mouth. And he said, let us make man in our image. So you're made in the same image of God. So therefore, God expects you to do the same things that he can do. That is to speak and create situations, change situations, move mountains. You can do all of these things because God said you can. Let me show you the principle again. John 11:43. I don't know if you know the story there where Lazarus has died. He's been in the grave 4 days. And his sister said, he stinketh. Jesus came along, and listen, it says, John 11:43, Jesus cried with a loud voice. What did he do? He spoke out what he believed in his heart. He believed, if I speak to this dead man, he's going to come to life again. So he spoke out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth, and the dead man came out of the grave. Now let me show you another one. In Luke chapter 1, the angel Gabriel appeared to the Virgin Mary, the young Virgin Mary, the young teenage girl, and announced to her that she would conceive a child by the Holy Spirit. And so Mary heard the word from the angel. She believed the word in her heart. And then she spoke out of her mouth. She said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. She heard, she believed, and she spoke. Same principle again. See, this is all the way through the Bible. We need to learn these things, folks, because some of you have struggled with some areas. Hallelujah. Interesting when God speaks to you. I don't mind him interrupting me, but he just told me somebody's struggling with your breathing, emphysema, breathing problem, emphysema. We're going to move a mountain. Who is that? Carolyn, come out here. We're going to pray for you. Come on. Elizabeth's going to lay hands on you. Carolyn. Thank you, Lord. Ulu, you want to come? Did you have emphysema?
I do.
Okay. Thank you, Father. No, today we're going to move a mountain. Let me tell you what the Bible says. Acts 17, verse 25, God says that he gives life and breath to every living thing. That, Paul said that while he was standing on Mars Hill and they were worshiping the unknown God. And he says, God gives life and breath to every living thing. So you ready to receive? Do you want to be free? Okay, that's the key. So believe the word in your heart. And we're going to speak. Elizabeth, lay your hands on her for me, please. Father, thank you for the anointing. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you for that anointing. Thank you for it right now. Father, we speak right now into her lungs. We speak, Acts 17:25, you said you give life and breath to every living thing. So, Father, we release the anointing right now. Thank you for it. Let it do the work that it's supposed to do. You said the anointing destroys the yoke of bondage. So, Father, we see her lungs clear. We see her breathing passages clear. Right now, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we declare and decree you to be well. I need you to believe it. I need you to accept it. And I need you to confess it with your mouth over the next few days and few weeks. Every time that would try to come back, you say, no, I was healed. The stripes of Jesus healed me at Calvary 2,000 years ago. So, Father, I thank you for doing it. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. As I said, I don't mind when God interrupts me. There are things that need to be done. We do, we got to move these mountains sometimes. But can we go back to Mark 11 again? In Mark 11, verse, I don't know if we got it up on the verse 12. We got that up there? Mark 11, okay. It's in Mark 11, 12, it says, now the next day when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. Verse 13. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. It was not the season for the figs. Next one. In response, Jesus said to it. And we're talking about speaking. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. It's important that they heard it. Next verse. So they came to Jerusalem. Then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. Yep. And he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. Now, interesting when you start to read these. Let me read the next one. It says, then he taught, saying, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves. Made it a den of thieves. Now, if you begin to research and look at this, you'll find that there are certain things that happened there. The money changers were charging exorbitant rates to exchange money. People came there from all over to buy sacrifices. They had to buy the doves. The dove sellers were there to make the sacrifice in the temple. So there were exorbitant exchange rates. The cost of the doves, it was a money thing. So Jesus came and said, you've just made this not a house of prayer, it's a den of thieves. Verse 18, it says, the scribes and the priests, chief priests, heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because all the people were astonished at his teaching. Interesting when you read down through all these verses, and there's much more in this than we have tended to see, perhaps, in the number of times that this passage has been taught. We've always taught about, Jesus spoke to the fig tree, or about moving the mountain, and that's true, but there's much more in it when you actually begin to look at it. When you look at it, you begin to see that Jesus here came to a fig tree. It was supposed to be bearing fruit, even though it was not the season. It wasn't doing what it was supposed to do. So he spoke to the tree, and the tree withered. Now, the principle that he's talking about here is this, that Jesus came to the nation of Israel. They would not receive him. They were supposed to be bearing the fruit of a righteous nation. They were not doing that. So on this day, now remember, he's coming over the top of the Mount of Olives. He comes into the temple. The people had been using the temple as a shortcut, I guess. They'd go through. They were carrying their stuff back and forwards through the temple. And so he said to them about this. He says that it's a den of thieves. It's not going to happen. What's the next verse, 19, if we got it up there? When evening had come, he went out of the city, and again. All right, verse 20. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. That's not normal. So overnight, the thing changed. Verse 21. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Lord, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. Now, what I want you to get is this. Number one, he didn't curse the fig tree. He spoke to it. And he spoke to the people in the temple as being representatives of the nation of Israel. And the interesting thing is that a few years after he had said these words, Roman general called Titus came and attacked Jerusalem and overran it because the nation was not doing what they were supposed to be doing. And so his words came to pass. He spoke to a tree, it withered. He spoke to the people, and they were overrun and destroyed. The point I'm making is this. You and I are to be like the trees of the field. It says in Isaiah, I think it is, 55, that all the trees of the field will clap their hands. It says in John chapter 15 that he is the vine and we are the branches. Our job is to produce the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. And today things haven't changed. We need to be producing. We need to be producing these things in our lives if we're going to be mountain movers. This is the point of the message. If you want to be a mountain mover, you've got to be what God wants you to be. Remember Mark 11:14, he spoke to the tree, and we read it, his disciples heard it. They heard him say these things. See, you need to come to a place where you can speak your faith, because nothing will happen if you don't speak it out. You can hear it, and you can believe it, but you have to speak it. Say it again. You can hear it, have faith, you must believe it, but you have to speak it. Now you need to come to a place, as I'm saying, where all these things will happen, but as I said earlier, sometimes the things don't happen immediately. They don't always happen just when we pray. It was several years before Jerusalem was overrun. It was the next day before the tree withered away, so there was a time frame there. But you have to speak it out of your mouth, believing that your faith will produce what you want it to produce. And listen to me, it will happen in its due season. In its due season, it will happen. 24 hours later, the tree had withered. Several years later, Jerusalem was overrun. Jesus said, just have faith in God. Now let me read a couple more scriptures to you, and then we'll start to wind this up and try and bring it to a close for you. In Romans 12:3, it says, God has dealt to every one of us the measure of faith. That is everyone in the body of Christ. He's writing to the church at Rome there. In Romans 10:17, Paul says, then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Same chapter, Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of the things we hope for. It is the evidence of the things we don't see. The Amplified Bible says, faith is the title deed of that which is invisible. Faith is the title deed. How many of you know who Corrie ten Boom? It says, she said this, faith is the radar that sees things and catches an image of them, even though they may be beyond natural sight. Faith is the radar that catches an image of them, even though they may be beyond natural sight. So what happens is your faith captures that image, and it imprints it in your spirit because of the word of God, and you believe it. Remember Jesus said, I assuredly tell you that whoever says to this mountain must believe. You must believe what you say. Now, these are all figures of speech that Jesus was using on that day. And what he's really saying to you and to me today is this: if we have a problem, it's like a mountain. If we have a difficulty, it's like a mountain. It could be a number of things. It could be a sickness. It could be some obstacle. It could be disease. It could be emphysema. It could be whatever it is. It could be unemployment. Whatever the situation is, doesn't really matter. Jesus said these are the principles. You use these principles and they will change things. They'll move mountains. But let me just say this as we begin to bring this to a close. A lot of people don't really understand the power of their words. They think they can just say any old thing and it doesn't really matter. I've listened to people saying that. It really does matter what you say. I was talking to someone quite recently, met them in the supermarket or in the shopping center, and I said, "How are you?" And their comment was, "Oh, well, I've got this." And they referred to a part of the body and says, "My poor old," mentioned the particular part of the body, giving them trouble. And I've told the person several times, don't say that. Don't say what you've got. Say what you want. You've got to say what it is you want. See, people are saying, "I've got a mountain." And then they'll say, "Well, can I talk to you about my mountain?" So they have a little discussion about the mountain. The church has created mountain debating societies. People take samples off their mountain and go and, "I want to look at my sample and let me look at your sample." Do you understand what I'm saying? See, we talk about it rather than talking to it. Don't talk about the problem. Talk to it, directly to it. I mean, if it's cancer, talk to it. Say, "Cancer, you got no right to be in my body. Cancer, Jesus took you at Calvary 2,000 years ago, so I don't have to have you today. So you're a lie. I don't believe you. This is the truth. I believe the truth. The truth is setting me free." Jesus didn't say, "Discuss your mountain." He said, "Talk to it. Speak to your mountain." Now you say, "Norman, but that's easier for you to say than it is for me to do." Well, how do you do that? I'll give you the answer. Here's the key. Write it down. Don't miss this. This is the key. John 15, verse 7. Jesus said, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." Simple, isn't it? But it's too difficult for many people. They don't want to do that. So the keys: hear, believe, speak. Let me finish with this quote. I think it was Ann Landers who made this quote. She said, "The Lord gave us two ends, one to sit on and one to think with. Your success depends on which one you use." So which end are you using? You getting what I'm saying? See, you whatever your situation is, if it's a work situation, if it's a sickness situation, if it's a family situation, if it's a child that's out in the world, you know, they're on drugs, that can all be changed. Depends how much you want to change it. If you do it God's way, it'll work. Yes. Yes, come up and speak in. Yeah, this is Elizabeth, as you know. Yeah, go ahead.
When I was only about 6 years old, I had a little brother who was 2 years old, and he had tuberculosis, and he wasn't expected to live. The doctor said, "Just be good to him till he dies." And I was there whenever the pastor from our church came and got on his knees and just crawled over to the settee where my little brother was lying there. I was there and my mother, and we were crying because he couldn't walk, he couldn't talk, he couldn't eat, he couldn't eat. He just was dying. And the pastor laid hands on him, and off he went. A week later, he came back, and here's my little brother, climbing, swinging on the curtains, climbing over the settee, perfectly healed. Today, he's over 70, and he's led thousands of children to the Lord.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. That's right. That's it. Child could have died. That's Kenneth. Some of you know Ken. Praise the Lord. That's great. Hallelujah. How many of you need mountains moved? All right, we're going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, even though some of these people are shy, even though some of them are hiding their faces, Father, you know each individual. You know all of us. You know more about me than I know about myself. So, Father, this morning, I pray for everyone in this place. I ask you, in the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name, the name that is above emphysema, the name that is above cancer, the name that is above unemployment, the name that is above every name, no matter what it is, we ask you in that name for mountain-moving ability as we hear your word, as we believe your word, and as we speak your word. We take it right now that mountains are being moved in people's lives. So we thank you for it. We expect it. We expect testimonies over the next few weeks of things that have changed, happened. Finances have been provided. Wonderful things have happened because we have believed your word and spoken it out of our mouth in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Thank you, Russell. Come finish off for us.